Now, Sariputra, the oldest and wisest of the Buddha's disciples, hearing this teaching, this new teaching, is overjoyed. Though he's old, he's prepared to change. He's prepared to learn. He says his only regret is that he spent so much time in a lower stage, a lower level of understanding. But the Buddha encourages him, and the Buddha predicts that one day he will realize supreme enlightenment as a perfect Buddha at some date in the distant future. And he even tells him what his name then will be. But not all the other disciples are like Sariputra. Some become rather disturbed, rather perplexed, rather worried. They don't know quite where they are. They say to themselves, well, before we were given a certain teaching, we were following that. Now something else is being given to us. Now we don't know whether we should follow this, leaving the old practice. We're not sure whether the old practice was completely useless. We're not sure whether we haven't wasted our time. We're not quite sure what we should do now, what we should do next. So to reassure them, the Buddha tells the first of his great parables. And this is the parable of the burning house. And it's this parable that we shall be studying next week under the general title of Transcending the Human Predicament. Now, four leading elders, when the Buddha has told this parable, are convinced. They weren't so convinced by the Buddha's more abstract statement before, but they're convinced by this parable, which is perhaps significant in itself, and they realize that they can go a step further, that they can proceed beyond the purely negative state of eradication of negative emotions. They can go on to positive illumination and supreme knowledge, wisdom, enlightenment, in other words, perfect Buddhahood. So they are very, very pleased. They're overjoyed. And they give expression to their joy. And they tell, or Mahakashyapa rather tells on their behalf, a parable of their own. And this is the parable, or if you like, the myth of the return journey. And this parable, or this myth, will be the subject of Lecture 3. The Buddha at this point praises the four elders. And he explains that he leads sentient beings to enlightenment, to supreme enlightenment, by adapting his teaching to their several different capacities. And to illustrate this point, he relates two more parables. These are the parable of the rain cloud and the parable of the sun. We'll be dealing with these two parables in Lecture 4, entitled On Symbols of Life and Growth. And the Buddha then predicts Mahakashyapa and the other elders to perfect Buddhahood, and even their names are announced. Now at this point, interest shifts. It shifts from the future to the past. The Buddha turns to the whole assembly and he starts telling them about a Buddha, another Buddha who lived millions and millions of years before his own time. And he tells them the story because this Buddha's career had in some respects paralleled his own. The majority of the followers of this Buddha had followed the Hinayana path, had aimed at arahantship, destruction of passions, and only 16 of them, in fact his own sons from the period before he became a monk, had aspired to perfect Buddhahood as bodhisattvas. But he says all of them would one day enter the great way, the Mahayana, the one